Favor and turn your Bibles to an Old Testament book, 1 Samuel. While you are finding 1 Samuel, please go to chapter 14. These thoughts about this chapter really helps us take a look at some things possibly in our lives that may be hindering God from blessing you completely. This is about being aggressive. But let me explain before I go any further. It is about what some call insane courage. Somebody say courage.
Courage.
A courage that comes from the Lord. When I use the word aggressive, it falls into the category that you want God to lead you, guide you, direct you, help you, comfort you, strengthen you. So this insane courage is not natural. I think in the fleshly realm, there are those who are aggressive, but they have no boundaries, and they hurt other people instead of helping other people. This is about being an overcomer. If I may use this, it's about addressing the elephant that is in your soul. It is putting yourself in the position to be successful in being an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. I am an overcomer. It's where you learn to feed your faith and starve fear. Interesting. So in 1 Samuel chapter 14, the verse that I want you to embrace is verse 2. This is about Saul and Jonathan. Verse 2 says that Saul was under the tree relaxing with 600 men. Jonathan and his armor bearer, something began to be stirred up inside of them. The Philistines, which every one of you here this morning have Philistines in your life. They're called enemies. And they wanted to overcome. They wanted to, the enemy always wants to destroy. But how can I be aggressive? How can I, what I would call, understand the concept of offense and defense? Many of you know I coached basketball for probably 30 years. Loved it. The only ones that didn't like me were the referees, but that's another story behind that. But I enjoyed the game because offense is where you are overpowering. Defense is where you're trying not to lose. It's kind of, you're not as aggressive. So I look at Saul and Jonathan. Saul was playing not to lose. Now, think about that for a moment. Jonathan was playing to win. I don't know how the Spirit of God is going to impart this in your soul, in your mind, in your body, in your life, but I can guarantee you one thing. If there is something there that is hard to get rid of, bad habits, not sure how to step out in faith, how to believe God. And so I know you hear me sometimes say something like this. You know what, guys? You know, try to stop trying to make it happen. Let it happen. You've heard me say that over and over here. Is it wrong? No, but that's not the realm that this is talking about. This is about let's begin to experience the breakthroughs that we need in our lives. It can be small, it can be big. I believe that the small things is what causes the conflict, not the big things. And as I've been studying Psalms 37, Revelation 1, 2, and 3 to prepare for verse by verse, I'm understanding that God wants to teach us. He wants us to learn some very precious lessons, how to win, how to overcome, and how to believe, and how to stand for the right things. So as I give you the picture about what's going on in 1 Samuel chapter 14, it's really about courage, because the natural says the odds are against you. But the supernatural says, with God, all things are possible. It is an approach. It's the way we see things. You're not an event. You're not a project. You are in a journey. This is a marathon. This is until Jesus comes. And as I was studying this morning with the notes to get ready for the Revelations chapter 1, 2, and 3, it says, your job is to endure to the end. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. But it does if you look at it this way. We're saved. Amen? Amen. Now our goal is to stay saved. No matter what we go through, what's going on. It shouldn't change, but it does. But I believe that there are times that we have to be cautious. There are times that we have to be universal. There are times that we have to do what we got to do. But this is not the case. This is not about counting the cost. This is not the case. It's not wrong. This really is about getting some courage, 20 seconds of it. Because once you get this courage, as we know, the first step is the hardest, it's the longest, and it's the most scariest. I don't know who I was sharing this with. I don't know if it was yesterday or today or when it was. At my age, I don't remember anymore. But change is hard. Change is hard. And I understand that every ending is a beginning. I'm understanding that the author of your life wants to help you create this new chapter in your life. We're afraid of the unknown. And so this morning, I just want you to focus on the important part. Is God wanting me to play defense now, or is God wanting me to play offense? Offense is where you attack. Defense is where you protect. Look at me for a moment. This is not the time to protect. Play it safe. This is the time of understanding the entire oracle counsel of God in our lives and what he's doing in the world. And so if it sounds like I'm not, you know, sensitive, I am sensitive. I cry at simple stuff. When my grandchild or grandchildren do something amazing, I cry. Talk to my mom on the phone and I cry. So don't accuse me of not being sensitive. Those who know Spanish a little bit, they don't call me llorón for nothing. Yes, there are times we have our emotions right here. It's normal. Nothing wrong with that. Okay. But how do we begin to understand that there are some things, okay, in people's lives that is stopping or quenching the Spirit of God to do its work in your life? So this message really is about really knowing the difference between fear and faith. When to again to count the cost and when not to count the cost. This is about knowing that there are some things in our lives that are enemies, and we're comfortable with them because they really don't make too much of a fuss, but in the eyes of God, they're blocking the blessings and the promises in your life so that you can go forward and become that person that he's really called you to be and to do in the end times. And I use that word end time because, you know, I didn't have the privilege to grow up in church. I got kicked out of church as a child, misbehaving. And I watched these kids today, and you can't look at them cross-eyed because they'll take you to jail for looking at them cross-eyed. Back then, when my mother looked at me cross-eyed, that meant a message, a clear message. And so I just want to encourage you that these thoughts is about enough is enough. Don't let your personality, don't let your culture, don't let your background, don't let your resentment, don't let your victim of the past create a stigma that it's impossible. And I believe that I'm saying this correctly, that God is the one that can really set you free if you let him. So as we move forward, there are some verses in 1 Samuel 14 that will help us get through this. And I just want to set the scenario or the scene that the attitude of Saul and the attitude of Jonathan, how the Spirit can lead us if we allow the Spirit of God to lead us in the areas that we need breakthroughs. Now, I'm just being honest. We come from the world. We've come out of the world. But to get the world out of us is a journey. Whew. Yeah, it's amazing. So when you and I begin to address the principles of truth and the word, it changes the course of our lives. So living by faith is playing offense. That's where, you know what, I'm not going to allow that to continue to dictate my depression, my anxiety, my hurt, my pain. I'm so ready now to do some things differently. And I think that's all of us across the board. I mean, again, I've really never met a perfect Christian. People who say, oh, New Beginnings is not for me because there's so many hypocrites there. And I say, well, wherever church you go to, please don't go there because you'll make it unperfect. But when I use the term perfect, there's no such thing. But what there is someone who keeps growing and growing and growing and growing and learning and learning and getting it. You know what? I'm going to be 60 this year, and there are some things that I should have gotten in my 20s. That was a good time. Oh, my wife's not here. Good place to say amen. And so it's okay, because there is a difference between holding out on God and going all out for God. And that is why the concept of 22nd insane courage, it takes courage to do this. That's why David's brothers criticized David for challenging Goliath. David made the headlines while his brother sat on the sideline. Kind of like what Saul is doing. He's kind of playing it safe with 600 men. And Jonathan, somebody say Jonathan. Jonathan did something that I think if we can just get a little bit of that trait, a little bit of that encouragement, and a little bit of that strength, I believe that we can begin to see results, breakthroughs. You don't hear that in the body of Christ. But miracles is one of God's amazing things he wants us to experience. Now, look at verse 1 for a moment. You are at 1 Samuel. Just stay at 1 Samuel. Look at verse 1. Now, I want to set the scene here. The Philistines, which are enemies, controlled majority of their surrounding. Who controls your mind? Who controls your soul? Who controls your body? Who controls your home? Who controls your relationship? Who controls your finances? Who controls your resentment? Who controls your hurt? Who controls your sick? We can go on and on and on and on and on. And I'm glad that I'm able to continue to learn about how powerful God's word is and how powerful Jesus is. But would you take a moment and read verse 1 with me? It says, come, let us go over to the Philistines, the outpost on the other side. Look at me for a moment over here, okay? Sometimes we're going to have to address the things that the enemy wants to control in your life. We can see it there, but I'm tired of seeing it. Here, we see a different approach, and that's all it is, my friends. It's a really different approach, and that approach is that going all out for God always starts with one step of faith. Faith is the center of it all, not a wishful or, just say it or you know, let's get lucky. It's a 50-50 chance, and I understand all of that. But this is different. I just keep emphasizing that it's so different because, again, we do have to address it. We don't want to address it, but we begin to address the elephant that might be in our minds, in our soul, in our body, in our home, our community, and our work. And we go on and on and on and on. So when we begin to make a move that is motivated by God's presence, God's conviction, God's authority, it moves the heart and the hand of God. There comes a moment in our lives when we say, enough is enough. We refuse to remain the same. I do understand doctrine, theology. I mean, your pastor is the slowest learner in the world, but give him a little credit. He'll spend 2-3 hours just researching thought, teaching doctrine, word, principle, you know, conviction, the power of God. And all of that is crucial and very, very important. But only those breakthroughs and those miracles that we need come from God. Amen? All right, I'm going to stop there 1 second. You have your Bible? Say amen. Let me show you something in God's word real quick, and then I'm going to let you guys go home and hide from everybody in Pueblo. Psalms give you a little taste of what God is saying to us. And I will be addressing Psalms 37 pretty much for the rest of the 3-4 months. We'll be doing Revelation 1, 2, and 3 on Wednesday. We won't have no worship on Wednesday. We're just going to go have a little bit of prayer, a little bit of praying to God to guide us and lead us. And then I'm going to move into 45 minutes of teaching and go from there. Psalms 37, you there? Now, I just want you to get a little taste of this, okay? Amen. It just, and this morning I'm just giving you an introduction to all of these thoughts. And before I read this, I want you to read, okay, I apologize. Just go ahead and stay at Psalms 37. I just want you to see what I'm kind of talking about, because sometimes I do not make sense, but I have to repeat myself to help us understand what God is trying to say. And God, I guess what he's trying to say to all of us, he's been saying it for the last couple of years, I want to do a new thing. Can you let me do a new thing in your life? The grace and the mercy brought you this far, but I don't know where we're going, that your method or your boundaries or your conviction will take you where we're going. I have to give you new tools and resources, and I got to give you things that only come from heaven. There's no material out there that will help you. You have to have faith in me, because that's what's important. Now, that approach is different. It really is. But watch this, verse 16. A little that righteous man has, okay, whatever you think is little, is better than the riches of many wicked. Ooh, so somebody just let that soak in for a moment. So in other words, what you think what you have is just this much, but in the eyes of God, it's 10 times more than what the world can give you. There really isn't no happiness out there. Really, there isn't. None whatsoever. It comes across that it is, right? It comes across that it is. But this is the stuff that God wants to bring forward, that, you know, be content, but I got more. Be content, but I got more. But I've got more. You're satisfied. You're kind of kicking back under the tree with all your blessings, and here comes Jonathan. He's not letting the enemy come to Jonathan. Jonathan is saying, "You know what? I'm going to go meet you where you are, but I got to climb. I've got to climb. The odds were 10-1. Yes." It always looks that way in the natural, but when God is involved, he changes that. Look at verse 16. It says, a little that the righteous man has is better than the riches. Verse 17, and the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds you. Do you believe you're the righteousness of God? Watch that. And the Lord knows the days of the upright. That's you. And their inheritance shall be forever. That's you. They shall not be ashamed in evil times. Now, is this evil times that's going on? Everybody's afraid. And I know we have to be precaution, we have to do caution, we have to do all of that stuff. But in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Wow. Wait a minute. Famine? Can't find toilet paper. Can't find hand wash. That's famine. But we shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish. And the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the metal, shall vanish into smoke, and they shall vanish away. I love verse 21. I mean, it's like, it's this is, the wicked will borrow, but they don't repay. But the righteous shows mercy, and they, wow, that's all in there. Are we going to be borrowing, or are we going to be giving? See, there is a big difference there. And so all Jonathan is doing is helping us understand is this is no longer acceptable, because I know that's evil, that's from the past, and again, the odds are against you. You're going to have more critics like never before. They're always going to be there. They're there. So don't you know, I bind and I rebuke you out of here. They ain't going anywhere. You're going to have to look at him in the eye instead of you going like this. I ran into this guy. He says, you know, you and I need to talk. And I'll close with this as the worship team comes. He says, you and I need to talk. I says, why? Because every time I see you, I have to kind of, like, I have to turn to see you because I know you're not happy with me. I said, well, why do you feel that I'm not happy with you? And we went into details of it. And he says, you know, you never use my name to make a deal without honoring that name. If my name is that important to you to use it, then you honor it. Because I would do the same thing to you. But able to look at people and just say, you know, things happen, right? Things take place. Can I learn from this? Can I be better? Can I be stronger? Can I take all of my hurts and pains and weakness? Can I make it better? And so, saints of God, I think you're putting yourself in the position for breakthroughs and miracles. But if you feel that you're not in the position to have miracles and breakthroughs, ask God what you have to do to make that happen. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Stand with me this